Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer before the message? Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, that we know nothing like your love on this earth, that it is deeper and broader and it is more amazing than anything we've ever experienced. And I just pray, Father, today that you would help us as we look into your word to be changed by the Spirit. Lord, we know that whenever the word is opened, we know that the Holy Spirit works in us and he teaches us and he guides us and he directs us and he molds us. And we just place ourselves in your hands today and we ask you that you would use this hour to mold us into the image of Christ through the power of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the futility of paralyzing worry. One of the things that we have discovered through the Christian life is that God is deepening us. He is seeking to mature us as believers in Jesus. We're growing slowly and steadily, day by day, line by line, precept by precept. He's bringing situations into our lives where he is deepening us and growing us and developing us. And many times we actually rub shoulders with someone and it is so clear that God has matured that person. It is so evident that God has done something deep in that person's heart. Whenever you get around a person like that, here's my advice. Talk less, listen more, and ask lots of questions. Whenever you're around someone that you know has been walking with God and developing in the Spirit and reading the Word and spending time with the Lord, then talk less, listen more, and ask lots of questions. This reminds me of my senior year at Dallas Seminary. I remember walking through the parking lot one hot afternoon. And I remember just looking up and out of the corner of my eye seeing the president of Dallas Theological Seminary slowly walking to his car. And his name was Dr. John Walvoord. At the time, Dr. Walvoord was probably known as the foremost expert on Bible prophecy in the world. He had written many books. He had preached at many, many conferences. And in the course of the conversation in the parking lot that day, I decided to ask him a question. I asked him what he was planning on doing that weekend, and he said, well, I'm actually going to preach at a prophecy conference. And I said, have you ever taken a student with you to one of those conferences? And he said, you know, in my 40 years of being the president here, I've never done that, but would you like to go? And I said, I would love to go. And so that weekend, we talked about a lot of things. I asked him lots and lots of questions. And one of the things that I asked him over the course of our weekend together was this. I said, Dr. Walvoord, as someone going into the ministry, as someone who is first starting out being a pastor, what are some words of advice that you can give me? What are some things that you can tell me that will serve as a good foundation for my future? And without hesitation, almost immediately, he said this. He said, the number one lesson I would like to tell you about is that I have learned to worry about only the things that I can control. I've discovered that I can control very few things. Therefore, I worry about very few things. What a powerful word that was. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could learn to limit our worrying to the things that you and I could control. Well, the beautiful thing about being a believer in Jesus Christ is that we know we have a loving Heavenly Father who is in control of the world. He is absolutely in control of what happens in our lives. He is in control of what happens to us. And what He is asking us to do, every one of us, is to trust Him, to lean upon Him, to understand that He really is working, that He has everything absolutely under control. Now, the truth that I want us to come to grips with this morning is one that if the Holy Spirit can drive this truth into our heart, it could change our lives permanently. And here's the truth. When you and I worry, we are taking responsibility for something that is designed for God to handle. When you and I worry, we're taking responsibility for something that is designed for God to handle. Jesus teaches us this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6, and let's read beginning with verse 25. Jesus is speaking, and He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, I think that this is one of the passages of Scripture that we have to first talk about what it doesn't mean before we delve into what it does mean. First of all, it does not mean that Jesus is saying, don't plan. Don't think about your future. He's not saying that. He's not saying, don't work. He is saying that there is this kind of obsession with life. There is this kind of obsession with worrying that is unhealthy as a believer. And it is symptomatic of not trusting Jesus for our lives. And so worry is a negative emotion that is symptomatic of taking our eyes off of God's promises. We do it all of the time. I can guarantee you that if you are worried about something this morning, you are worried about something in violation of what God has already said, "I'll take care of that. I've got that. Don't you dare worry about that. I have that totally under control." Well, in this relatively small passage of Scripture, I want us to look at the number of times that He warns us against worry. In verse 25, He says, "Do not worry about your life." In verse 27, He says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Verse 28, And why do you worry about clothes? Verse 31, so do not worry. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. So let's look at this Greek word. I think it will illuminate what Jesus is saying to us. The Greek word translated worry is merimenon, which means to worry anxiously. The idea is you are consumed with a thought and it is making you anxious in your spirit so that you no longer have this calmness in your heart. You are worried in your heart. You have these thoughts that are going on, and instead of giving them over to God, you are tensing up. You are clamming up. You are taking on something that God does not want you to take on, and it is obliterating your peace. That's what Jesus means when he says, don't worry about your life. This is exact same Greek word was used in a papyrus letter that a wife wrote her husband. And this is what she wrote. I cannot sleep by day or by night because of the worry, this exact same Greek word, I have about your welfare. And so this morning, I want to ask you a question. What are you worried about? Now, the reason why I ask it this way is because I'm not asking you, are you worried? The truth is, I guarantee you that there's something that you're worried about. It could be your health. It could be the health of your spouse. It could be your future. It could be your finances. It could be your relationships. It could be your career. It could be your job. It could be a multitude of different kinds of things that we worry about. And so the issue probably is not whether or not we are worried. The issue is probably what are we doing with the worry that we have. My guess is that every single person in this room is worried about something. Whenever we worry, this is what we do. We mull over something. We ruminate over something. We reflect over something. We ponder over something. We weigh future possibilities. We're not even conscious half of the time that we're having these kinds of thoughts. But they're real and they're live and they're powerful. And so many times these thoughts are stealing our joy and they're bringing us down in the Christian life. We don't realize that we are trying to figure everything out. We are ruminating, we are pondering, we are thinking, we are figuring out. We are living this life in the mind when, yes, God wants us to think for sure, but he wants us to trust him with everything. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, in Matthew chapter 6, is not making the case that he doesn't want us to think. He's not making the case that he doesn't want us to ponder and to plan and to think about the future. But he is teaching us about how futile it is to worry about the things that God has said, I'll take care of that. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ began this teaching in Matthew chapter 6 with a seemingly insignificant word. He begins this section in verse 25 with the word therefore. Look at it in your Bible. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. A principle of biblical interpretation is that whenever you see the word therefore, you should always ask, what is it there for? And in this particular case, he is tying his previous thought with the thought that he is now making. Now, in the previous thought that Jesus made, he stressed how that he wants us to have this single-minded devotion to him. He wants us to be all in. You cannot serve both God and money. He wants us to be completely dedicated to Him, explicitly, completely, totally. Now what He's doing is that He is showing us that when we begin to worry, it obliterates the joy in our lives. So in this powerful teaching this morning, what I would like to do is I would like to point out five reasons why He wants you to grow out of the habit of worrying. This morning, let's look briefly at five reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ wants all of us to grow out of the habit of worrying. Number one, worry reveals wrong priorities. Worry reveals wrong priorities. We as Americans spend a lot of time thinking about materialistic matters. We spend a lot of time thinking about food and clothing. We spend a lot of energy thinking about materialistic issues. But Jesus in chapter 6 and verse 25 says, "Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize that He was poor, and yet He was so filled with joy. There was this deep-rooted satisfaction in His heart because He had this relationship with His Father of total trust. He knew that His Heavenly Father would take care of Him. He knew that there was no rational reason to worry, and so He trusted His Father with everything. This past Wednesday evening, I sat down at the end of the day and I just had the privilege of watching a little bit of an interview between Charlie Rose and David Brooks. Most of us have probably seen some of the interviews by Charlie Rose. David Brooks is a writer for the New York Times. He just completed a book, and the name of his book is called The Road to Character. That book actually came out this very week. And so Rose was interviewing him about the book. Well, in the middle of this interview, David Brooks made a statement that I thought was pretty powerful. He said that up to this point in his life, he had been measuring success in his life by his career. And he said that when he measured his success in life based upon his career, that it turned out ultimately unfulfilling. But then he went on to say this, and I want you to read this. I think it's very, very powerful and pertinent to so many of us. He said this. He said, "I've achieved way more career success than I've ever imagined. And I've rediscovered the elemental truth that it doesn't make you happy." And when I heard that, I remember thinking, that is so true. That is so true that when you and I somehow assume that anything other than God, that anything other than a relationship with Jesus Christ is going to fulfill us, make us complete, and make us happy is a total illusion. Whether it comes to career achievements or fame or power or materialism, all of it leaves us empty. The only thing that satisfies us is a relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 6, it's not only that Jesus is asking us to refrain from the priority of pursuing temporal things. He wants us to replace it with goals of a much higher importance. Look at verse 33. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus said, don't let your your seeking be things of this world. It's very interesting that in the verse right before verse 33, he talked about these are the things the pagans seek after. I looked at that Greek word, and the Greek word paints the picture of someone going very hard after something. It's almost like somebody reaching hard for the finish line. They are putting all of their energies into something. And so what Jesus is saying is this: the people who are not following me, they are pursuing something that will never satisfy their hearts. What I want you to do is I want you to seek after, pursue something different. First of all, pursue and seek after my kingdom and my righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. What is he saying? He's saying the Christian's highest priority is the daily pursuit of the will of God. Do you realize that? Has that thought ever really gripped your heart? That every single day of your life, that the number one issue in your life is, I want to do the will of God today. The will of God may look differently every single day of your life. As you are led by the Holy Spirit, as you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I give this day to you, he may have someone that he wants you to minister to. He may have a project that he wants you to pursue. He may have something that is totally out of the realm of what you had been planning on doing, but he wants you to do something for his will. And of course, we can only know his will as we study his word. And so Jesus said that if you do that, if you seek the kingdom of God and my righteousness, all of these things will be added unto you. You know, the kingdom-minded Christian knows at least two things about possessions. We know this: we really never own anything. We've simply been entrusted with God's stuff. I know that a lot of financial ministries say this all of the time, but has that ever really sunk into your heart? Has it ever really sunk into your soul that you and I don't really own anything? It's all his. It's all God's. He's simply letting us be stewards of his stuff. And once we begin to understand that we really don't own anything, we're simply stewards of his stuff, it makes us look at stuff differently. Psalm 24:1 says this: the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So the two things that we know about possessions, we know that we really never own anything. The other thing we know is this: people always take priority over things. What an important lesson that is for us. Well, I said this morning that I want us to look at five different things about what Jesus is teaching us in Matthew chapter 6. Here's number two. Worry reveals we are blind to God's providence. Worry reveals that we are blind to God's providence. Here's what Jesus says. He says, look at the birds. He says, look at the lilies of the field. Look at how the Heavenly Father clothes the lilies of the field. Look at how he feeds the birds of the air in his providence. Look at how that when you just simply open your eyes and you realize all that the Father is doing to provide for his creation, how much more will the Heavenly Father take care of you? That's what he's saying. Children of the Heavenly Father never have to worry because he promises to meet their every need. I read this really great quote this week about this. I think you'll enjoy it. This is what it said. Said the robin to the sparrow, I really do not know why it is these human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. That's how we act, isn't it? We act as if God is not going to take care of us. We act as if everything depends upon us. When Jesus said, I don't want you to worry about these things in your life. I want you to realize that the Heavenly Father will take care of you. Lesson number 3. Worry accomplishes nothing. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? I love that question. Is there anybody here that could raise your hand and say, listen, I've done a lot of worrying, and because of it, I'm 1 year older today? No, the fact is, if you've done a lot of worrying, you're probably shortening your life. Jesus asked the question, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I love this. Someone said that when you and I worry, it's like we're sitting in a rocking chair. The rocking chair is always in motion, but we're getting nowhere. That's what worry is. It's like we're in this rocking chair. There's lots of activity. There's lots of movement, but we're going nowhere. You cannot change your past, but you can ruin a perfectly good present by worrying about your future. And all of us do it. I do it. All of us do it. Lesson number 4. Worry reveals a lack of faith. In this powerful message on worry, the Lord Jesus Christ is exposing a sobering fact. And here's the fact. The root of anxiety is unbelief. Now, I want to make sure you heard that. The root of anxiety is unbelief. You show me a person who is worrying, and I will show you a person who is doubting. You show me a person who is anxious, and I will show you a person who is not trusting in the promises of God. It happens to every one of us. We lose focus. We lose perspective. We forget that God said, I'm going to take care of you. You never have to worry about anything. I will take care of you. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 36. He says, oh, you of little faith. That is like the climax of the passage. That is what everything is leading up to. Jesus is saying, why are you worried, oh, you of little faith? I want you to trust me. I want you to trust your Heavenly Father. He cares about you. Look at the birds of the field. He's feeding them. Look at the lilies of the field. Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. If the Heavenly Father is feeding them, and if he is clothing them, then he'll certainly clothe and feed you. After all of these years of pastoring, there is this man that I have a lot of his books. His name is Dr. Herbert Lockyer. Herbert Lockyer is a man who was brought up in Scotland. And when Moody Bible Institute had their 50th anniversary, they actually asked him to come and speak. And when he spoke, the message that he gave on that occasion was so used by the Holy Spirit that catapulted him to have this humongous ministry in churches all over the United States. But he wrote over 50 books. Some of his books are books, for instance, I was looking in my library this week, and I've got a book by him called All the Miracles of the Bible. He has a book called All the Parables of the Bible. Another book, All the Women of the Bible. Another one, All the Men of the Bible. But here's a man who has studied the Word intensively, and I want you to hear what he says about how that worrying reveals a lack of faith. This is what Herbert Lockyer wrote. Worry produces doubt in a threefold direction. First, God's love is doubted. Worry implies that he cares little for his blood-washed children. Second, God's wisdom is doubted. Worry indicates that he is not able to plan for his own, that he does not know what is best for them who belong to him. Third, God's power is doubted. Worry says his grace is not sufficient for our needs. When I read that this week, the Holy Spirit smote my heart, making me realize that when I worry, what I'm doing is I am doubting the character of God. When I worry, I am not trusting in who he reveals himself to be. That's what I'm doing whenever I worry. And now for the fifth and final lesson that Jesus teaches us about worry in Matthew chapter 6. It's this. Worry makes today unbearable. Look at chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love the New Living Translation's translation of the last sentence. It says this, today's trouble is enough for today. When will we ever learn that? That when you and I worry about the future, we are making the day that God has designed for us for this day to meet our every need, to claim his every promise, and when we take tomorrow's issues and bring them into the worries of today, what we're doing is we are making today unbearable. Today's trouble is enough for today. Why in the world would you want to take the future's worries and add them to the burden that you feel today? That's what Jesus is saying. I read an illustration this week about Calvin Coolidge. President Calvin Coolidge was once asked the question, how in the world are you able to remain so calm as you face all of these challenges as leader of the nation? And he said this. He said, oh, I never let trouble bother me, for I have discovered that if you see 10 troubles coming down the road toward you, you don't need to be worried, because before they get to you, 9 of them will go off into the ditch, and the other one will probably be so weak by the time it reaches you, you can handle that one very easily. Isn't that so true? You and I have all of these things that we build up in our minds that become so huge when God says, don't worry, just trust me. Well, there are two antidotes, I believe, from the Word of God against worry. There are two things that God wants us to keep us having the proper perspective related to worry. Here's the first one. Turn your worries into prayers. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? He is saying, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. If you would like to know the antidote to worry, here it is. Don't let yourself become anxious about anything. And when you begin to feel yourself getting anxious, turn that anxiety into prayer. And then what will happen? You will be filled with the peace of God, which transcends human understanding. And the Holy Spirit will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Antidote number two, develop an attitude of trust. Develop an attitude of trust. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. What does He want us to do? He wants us to trust Him. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6. Trust your Father. He has everything under control. And whenever you are not trusting Him, all you are doing is you are inviting stress into your life. You are inviting anxiety into your life. You are inviting worry into your life. Let me close with this. There is a pastor by the name of William Arthur Ward who wrote this, and I think it's extremely pertinent for this morning. Worry distorts our thinking, disrupts our work, disquiets our soul, disturbs our body, disfigures our face. It destroys our friends, demoralizes our life, defeats our faith, and debilitates our energy. That says it all, doesn't it? If we want to worry, then it is going to sap every ounce of joy out of our lives. But if we trust Him, and if we believe in Him, He will take care of us. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Do not worry about your life. Your Heavenly Father will take care of you." Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Father, we know that every one of us are tempted to worry. Every one of us are tempted to take responsibilities from You that are designed for only You to handle. And I just pray that You would help all of us to not worry, but to trust. Help us to realize that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who will take care of us, who has everything under control, and we can trust You with our very lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.